World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I'm kind of conflicted here this morning in which direction I want to go. I've got a lot of stuff to really want to share with you. I just shared with the guys before we really went live. I think that we are in what we would call tumultuous times. Tumultuous times. Meaning this, you know, I look on my screen. I see, I don't know if you guys understand how my screen works. I see everybody who has their camera on, I see. Well, I don't see all of them. I see Ray and I see David and I see the producer and I see me, but I can click on over and I can see the face of everybody who's on here, right? And the Bible says that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And I just continue to be amazed. For me now, I'm 70, I don't know, how old am I? 70, whatever, 1952. What would that make me, Ray? 1952. But November, I'm going to be
73, right?
73. In November, I'm going to be 73 in November. And I can't believe every day how much stuff I learn. How much stuff I learn. Stuff I thought I knew that, oh, that's not right, and stuff. And how much I don't know, really. And how many times I used to think this way, but I don't think that way anymore. And one of the things I want to talk to us about today is Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. See, folks, look. That's not someplace we're going. I'll get into it here in a second. Look at this. Look at this. Okay, let's do this. Because I saw this morning, and this just validated me. Just validated me. Because I'm an edgy Christian. I'm a coach. By nature, I wish I could, by nature, I confront. It was my coaching. You know, that's wrong. Do it this way. No, don't go there. Don't go there. That's my bend, if you will. And some people don't like it. Raise your hand if you like direct communication. Stop beating around the bush and tell me what it is you're saying. I love that. So don't waste my time with all the trivialities around it. Make your point. Make your point, and then I'll make the decision, all right? And really all you can do when you have a communication with people is make the point. You can't make them believe it. You can't make them follow it. You can't do any of that stuff. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You got to work it out, baby. You got to work it out. And sadly, many of us are what Hillary called us bitter clingers. Bitter clingers, Hillary called us. And she was talking about those guys who clung to their guns. Remember that? Anybody remember that other than me? Bitter clingers. Well, a lot of us in the Christian world are bitter clingers. Bitter clingers. Yeah. They want to cling to what Grandpa Joe taught them 60 years ago, even though it ain't true. Grandpa Joe was wrong. But you're a bitter clinger. You want to hang on to that. I don't know about you. It's not true. I don't want to know it. I want to move on. I want to progress. All right? So sometimes I say things in here that hurt people's feelings. If I hurt your feelings, email Ray LeBlanc. He will rub your back for you. Okay? At some point, you're going to have to man up, suck it up, and decide whether or not is what you're doing working. Is what you're doing working? Now, somebody said the definition of ignorance is continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result. Is what you are doing working? Well, maybe you need to take an evaluation. Are you ready? You're sitting down. This is really, really good. This is me. This is Coach Dave Live. Play the very first thing up there. Christian, stop. Hang on a second. Christian men, are you looking at me? Hey, you looking at me? Christian men must be dangerous. I told my wife on my tombstone, if she's listening up there, what I want on my tombstone, I want, here lies a dangerous man. A dangerous man. See, somebody's dangerous can be good dangerous. You understand that? Someone who's dangerous can be really, really good. They can pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. They're dangerous because they shake our worldview. Dangerous. When the show's over today, I don't care if you believe me. I don't care. I don't care. And we'll spit it out the way I see it, and then you have to digest it. One of the hardest things for all of us to do is to shake ourselves loose out of the mindset that we found ourselves trapped in. And somewhere along the line, we took Jesus Christ, the bravest man who ever lived, the confrontational Jesus Christ, who challenged kings and religious leaders, who stood up and didn't yield. He isn't even in your church anymore, for the most part. So times we find ourselves in, money's not going to be any good. Banks are going to fail. The Federal Reserve, hopefully that thing gets thrown overturned. Folks, whole creation groaneth waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hey, I want to be a dangerous Christian man. Go ahead and play this.
If you're a Christian man, listen closely. You must be dangerous, a threat to every lie, every force that dares to rise against the truth of Christ. Look around. Over 2 billion claim the name of Christ. But how many of us are willing to stand when our faith is mocked, when truth is challenged, the churches are replaced, when the name of our Lord is dragged through the mud? Where's the spine? Where are the men who will speak when the world spits in the face of our King? They desecrate what's holy. They mock the sacred. Should they not have a look at us and fear? Let me tell you something. Without strength, your goodness is worthless. A man who poses no threat to the enemy is not a virtue to the Lord. He's a liability. And if that stings, good, it should. Do you really think evil backs down just because a man loves God? No. It doesn't back down just because you sing worship songs on Sunday. It laughs at men who talk about love, but lack the guts to defend it. And if men won't protect truth, if he won't guard what is sacred, then the faithless will overrun us. Conversion will come, not because their argument is better, but because we were too docile to resist. Evil thrives where men stay passive. The enemy longs for a faith filled with such men. Obedient, yet harmless. Devoted, yet silent. Because without strength, even devotion loses weight. Just look at Europe. Once rich in Christian roots, now overrun by those who serve another master. They preach against Christ, persecute his followers. And it all began when they failed to guard what they let in. It is the ultimate cautionary tale to never compromise your faith. They saw the Christians and saw no threat. That's all. Remember, Jesus wasn't soft. He was wise. He cast out demons. He rebuked leaders. He flipped tables. He was gentle with the broken, but ruthless with evil, and didn't come to please the world. He came to conquer it. And your Heavenly Father, he's not tamed. He's a consuming fire, a righteous judge, the Lion and the Lamb. And you, man of God, were called to have that balance, not one or the other. There should be nothing about you that is harmless, not to sin, not to lies, not to the world. Christ demands ultimate loyalty, which means if someone mocks the gospel, distorts truth, or invades the holy, You must have the spine and conviction to rise against it. You don't get to be weak and still claim to serve the king. That's not humility. Be the man with the spine. We must not decrease in number, nor succumb to the noise and rising power of the faithless who serve another master. Because the truth is, if you won't fight for your faith, you'll lose it. The world doesn't need more passive men pretending to follow Jesus. It needs men who are powerful and dangerous, who will go to any length to preserve his name. Be gentle enough to love, strong enough to lead, dangerous enough to destroy evil. Your father is your honor, your ego. His land was not meant for enemies to thrive on. You come from a sacred bloodline, the spiritual lineage of Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb who was slain, the one whose blood you owe your life to. So protect it, protect the lineage, protect the truth. Don't forget whose you are and who saved you. Let no foolish man drag our faith into decay. Let no coward distort what generations bled to defend. And let the world know who you believe in, the God of the Bible, the Holy One, the consuming fire, the risen King. You are not just a man. You are the will of the heaven.
Boom. Put that in the chat. Put that in the chat. Here's where I want to go today. If you just bear with me a little bit, then I'm going to open it up. Pull up number five for me, Spencer. We've spoken about this before on the show, but it's been a while since I've done it. But I think it's imperative that we understand. Anybody out there? I see David Arthur. David Arthur, let me hear you do something, David. Can you say the Lord's Prayer for us? Can you say it? You don't have to pray it. Just say the Lord's Prayer.
Wow. You just... Wow, isn't this something I can't write off the top of my head?
Our Father,
who art in
heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
Yes, please.
We forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Mm-hmm. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, let me go back here a second. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Folks, it ain't someplace we're going. It's something that's coming. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And when your kingdom comes, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. See, Dave, I didn't mean to embarrass you there. Folks, listen, until you understand that the kingdom of God is within, it's within, kingdom of God is within, the kingdom of God is Romans 14, pull it up there, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not a place you go, it's a kingdom that comes, it's a rule that comes. Until the church understands that we are supposed to take the kingdom of God here on earth and establish the kingdom of God here on earth.
Amen.
Now, I went to Romans. I could go to Romans 14. But I went to the Message Bible. I know it's not the real Bible. I know it. Here's Romans 14 in the Message Bible. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers, who don't see things the way you do. Don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in their faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. Hey, folks, this is God's word interpreted in the Message Bible. For instance, a person who's been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they started arguing over what they were eating? God, after all, invited both of them to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off your guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without you. Thank you. Or, say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy. Another one thinks that every day is pretty much like any other. There are good reasons both ways. So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. Scroll down. Hey, look, here's the point. I'm not trying to make it. Just because, am I not a good Christian if I don't keep the Sabbath? What's important in all this is that if you keep a holy day, keep it for God's sakes. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we're answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between. We're not accountable to each other. We already agree, but we're not. That's why Jesus lived and died and lived again so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. Somebody say amen. That would be a great place to say amen. The petty tyrannies of each other. So where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I'd say it leaves you looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment facing God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. Read it for yourself in the scriptures. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. So mind your own business. You got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Somebody say amen on that one, huh? Forget amen about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else making life more difficult than it already is, throwing all kinds of rules and regulations that they have to follow in order to be good Christians. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. Hey, friends, when you pray over your meal, don't you ask the Lord to bless it? That if there's any poisonous in it, it's not going to harm you? Do we think the Lord's going to say, oh, gee, I'd love to do that, but boy, that's pork. You can't eat that pork. I'm sorry. I got to draw a line there. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion of them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons from whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over something they're eating? Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion of soul poisoning. If you don't eat pork, don't eat it. Don't condemn me because I do. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach. For goodness sake, It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. By the way, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you want the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hey, yes, Lord, I want righteousness, peace, and joy. That's your kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. It's within us. He said, don't look for it. You can't see it. It doesn't come with observation. It's in you. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sakes. It's what God does with your life is he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task to single-mindedly serve Christ. That's your task. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with stone, pleasing God above and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use all our energy into getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to direct God's work among you, are you? I said it before, and I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly. If you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. When you sit down to eat a meal, your primary concern should not be to feed your own face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to others who are eating. Don't eat or say or do things that might interfere with the free exchange of love that is spread during a meal. Cultivate your own relationship with God. But don't impose your beliefs on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your beliefs are coherent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you are acting in ways inconsistently with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinion on others, other days just trying to please them, then you will know that you're out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. Then it's wrong. Here's the point I want to make. Spencer, go to the King James on the same chapter. Go down to verse, scroll down about 14, I think it is. Keep going. There it is. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not food. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you today that the kingdom has come and it can be within you. Listen, friends. The kingdom of God is not someplace we're going. It is something that has come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. That's our prayer. His kingdom has come. His kingdom is within you. I know this is hard for some of you to swallow. So pull up number 5. I see you, Mark Chong. I'll get you here in a second. Let me make this point. I just Googled this. Can I tell you something? You know how I know the supernatural is real? You know how I know it's real? AI. Artificial intelligence. Evidently, there's an intelligence, an ability to calculate, communicate outside this natural realm, evidently, because we're seeing it all the time on AI. See it all the time. It's because the Holy Spirit's real. And AI is not the Holy Spirit. It's a different spirit. But clearly, the ability to communicate in this world is impacted by something outside this world. The kingdom of God is, listen now, Christians, gotta be dangerous, don't we? The kingdom of God is God's righteous rule and reign over humanity and creation, established through Jesus Christ and now present in the world, though still awaiting its full future fulfillment. The kingdom has already come.
Amen.
It's not a physical place like heaven, but a spiritual and social reality where God's will is honored. The kingdom of God is within me. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm connected to heaven. Heaven's a place we're going to go. The kingdom of God is something that's coming. It's not a physical place like heaven, but a spiritual and social reality where God's will is honored. We're supposed to go into all the world, teach them to observe all his commands. We're supposed to go teach them the kingdom. Manifesting as transformed lives, societies, and a deep personal connection with God. Jesus' teachings centered on the arrival of his kingdom, urging people to seek first his kingdom by living according to God's principles and love, thus participating in its ongoing manifestation on earth. When I got born again and filled with the Spirit of God, God's kingdom came inside of me. And I now have the ability to rule and reign over every decision, every thought, everything I do. Christ is now king, but I can choose not to obey him. He has given me the ability to say no to sin. So key aspects of the kingdom of God. God's sovereign reign. At its core, the kingdom of God is about God's direct rule and authority, a kingship that is often better translated as God's reign. Look, folks, Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning right now. While Jesus announced that the kingdom was at hand or here, it's also a future reality that will be fully consummated at Christ's second coming. The kingdom is already here. He's waiting for us to establish the kingdom, to advance the kingdom, for when he comes to stand on his throne. As a Masonic rule, the establishment of the kingdom is linked to Jesus' messiahship, with his crucifixion and resurrection marking its pivotal moment. The kingdom exists within believers. I'm going to say that again. Hey, Susie, the kingdom exists within believers as God's principles shape their hearts and lives, fostering a profound personal relationship with God. Anybody out there say, yep, that happened to me. That's happened to me. Every day when I get up in the morning, I live by the what? The kingdom rules of my king. Every day I try to, and I walk out of here, and I run into a world that ain't living by him, but I'm supposed to do what? Go into all the world and teach them how to do it. The kingdom exists within believers as God's principles shape their hearts and lives. It's also a social dimension, calling for a world reordered around God's principles, characterized by love, justice, and compassion for others. Folks, if you don't do justice, you don't love. The greatest love of all, are you ready for this one? The greatest love of all is the death penalty. It's the greatest love at all. It validates the value of that person who lost their life because of what you did. It's the greatest example of love of all. The establishment of the kingdom is linked to Jesus' messiahship, with his crucifixion and resurrection marking its pivotal moment. Hang on a minute. Where's the kingdom of God? He said, ain't something. No, you ain't going to see it. You ain't seen it, Willis. It's coming, man. It's within you. It's also a social dimension. The kingdom is demonstrated through actions. Living out God's principles in everyday life, like loving one's neighbors and caring for the vulnerable. Misconceptions to avoid. By the way, I believed all this. I just found this today. The kingdom of God is not identified, not identical to heaven. Though it encompasses God's rule on earth and heaven, the kingdom of God and heaven are not the same things. The kingdom, the rulership of Christ, has come. Heaven's a place where we'll end up. In fact, heaven's coming to earth. While kingdom work can refer to doing good, the kingdom is fundamentally about God's active reign. The people who live under it. not a human-centered utopia. Come on in, Mark Trump.
Well, thanks, Coach. I was going to just give you a thought I teach people about ants. These ants, if you ever watch them, you know, they fight over crumbs. Have you ever seen them fight over a crumb?
Coach. Yeah.
And you'll sit and watch them.
Which one's right? Which one deserves the crumb? Does it even matter? There's an excavator, right, coming down like 30 feet away, getting ready to scoop 12 feet below their home. And they're arguing over a crumb, Coach. See, and the operator, he may or may not see them. He may be paying attention to them. He may be intently aware of this destruction that's coming. But these ants, they're oblivious, aren't they, Coach?
They are.
So he yells at them. The operator yells at them, "Hey, ants.
Get out of the way.
You're going to catch on fire. There's going to be brimstone coming up." And they don't listen. That one of them is more right than the other. It's all they're thinking about, that crumb. So we need to put this in perspective, Coach. When the Holy Spirit became and dwelled on earth 3 days after Jesus left the Comforter, it became God's place here. The Holy Spirit's here, Coach. It's right here.
It's within us.
It's on earth. It's on earth. The Holy Spirit's on earth.
It's on earth. It's in me.
It's already here.
It's already here.
It's already here. Amen, Coach.
It's already here, folks. It ain't coming. The Spirit, it's already here. The kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within. Folks, it's all through the Bible. It didn't come with observation. You can't say, "Oh, over there it is, and over there it is." And no, because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. We are a spirit who live in a body, and we possess a soul, and we are under the control of the spiritual realm. Whether we want to know, who are you going to serve? Somebody. Who are you going to serve? And Jesus Christ came, conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the grave, and he came and he gave us all power and all authority here and now to go teach everyone everything he's commanded us, and he's with us always, even to the end of the age. There will be an end of the age. When the end of the age comes, we'll go to heaven.
So God removed himself from us, Coach. He couldn't be around us until when? Until the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was given back to us after Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, Jesus Christ was a dangerous man, baby.
Amen.
There were tables everywhere he went, man. Huh? Oh, man. Oh, man. You don't think his reputation preceded him when he's walking around Jerusalem? You don't think so? Huh? Come on, man. He was so dangerous. They crucified him. And see, we have a dichotomy there. It was a dichotomy. He was so dangerous to the wicked that they killed him. And the Bible said Satan screwed up. If he had known what he was doing, he would have never done it. Why? Because all power came. When Christ died on that cross, that same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside me. But you know what our problem is? We don't take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When I'm not a name it, claim it guy, but just out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. You can't sit around and say you believe God's for God's provision and then whine and moan because you're broke. "Oh, I knew we weren't going to. I just knew it. And then we're going to get another." Well, there you go. Because everything is a mind game. That's why Jesus said, "Take captive every thought." Take captive. When a negative thought comes to you, don't agree with it. When you agree with it, you give that authority. You give that God-granted authority to that evil thought. God's not going to control your thoughts. The fiery darts of the wicked one. Doesn't the Bible talk about that? The fiery darts of the wicked one. What do you think those are? Those are thoughts and circumstances that come your way. Do you stand firmly that you are a resident of heaven and a kingdom ambassador, and all authority has been given unto me, and I give it unto you? Jesus Christ said when he left. He's coming back. Right now, ruling and reigning right now through us, supposed to be. Ruling and reigning through us right now, supposed to be. And we sit around, we Christians make Christianity all about going to heaven when heaven's already come. The authority of heaven has already come. Some of you think, I ain't never heard anything like this. I know. Because the church is a submission. The church has bowed its knee to the evil one. The church, the American church, will not fight evil. They won't fight it anymore. They teach us to oppose it. They teach us to avoid it. But they don't teach us to fight it. I'm looking at something right up here. I put up on my screen. I don't know if I need to do that. Pull up number two. Pull up real quickly. I'll get you, Lorianne. Hang on, Craig. I'll get you in here. Trump's reversal on warp speed opens a window of opportunity to halt COVID-19 mRNA injections. Folks, did you guys see yesterday? Say what you want to about Trump. Donald Trump says, hey, by the way, let's go back and investigate all those drugs and all that. Let's go back and let's do a study on that. Trump finally questions Operation Warp Speed. President Trump, even though he was at the beginning of it, at the head of it, I tried to tell folks he was only getting advice from people he thought he could trust, some of them Christians. Very important, Trump wrote yesterday, that the drug companies justify the success of their various COVID drugs. Many people think they are a miracle that saved millions of lives. Others disagree. With CDC being ripped apart over this question, I want the answer, and I want it now. I've been shown information from Pfizer and others that is extraordinary, but they never seem to show those results to the public. Why not? He asks. They go off to the next hunt and let everyone rip themselves apart, including Bobby Kennedy Jr., CDC, trying to figure out the success or failure of the drug company's COVID work. They show me great numbers and results, but they don't seem to be showing them to the public. I want them to show them now. CDC, public, clear up this mess one way or another. I hope Operation Warp Speed was as brilliant as many say it was. If not, we all want to know about it and why. That's a boom to me. Come on in, Lorian.
Good morning. This is awesome. I love it. Thank you, Coach. And I love John 1:14-16, right? It said the word became flesh and blood to reveal the grace and the glory of God. And how does that come? It's because he brought the kingdom of God to earth, heaven came to earth in Jesus Christ. And then when the Holy Spirit is alive inside of you in various ways, and you show up and you don't condemn, you have compassion, use truth and love, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us because of the Holy Spirit.
Lorianne, we got people who believe in AI but don't believe in the Holy Spirit.
100%, and then they sit there next to you in a pew, because it's like pew, and yep. And they just sit there and play religion, and they have no idea about who Jesus Christ really is. There's no encounter with the one who lives inside of you and reveals the truth, right? Because John's gospel says that. And he has, compassion. And we're running around here like sheep without a shepherd.
Because we don't believe that all power is given unto me and I give it to you. We don't believe that. We think Christians believe that everything will be perfect when they go to heaven. They don't understand that we're supposed to be dangerous now, going into all the world and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And by the way, I'm with you always. Why does he have to be with us? Because it's dangerous business. It's war. We don't get it. Craig.
Spencer, can you pull up Acts chapter 7, verse 44 through 60, and put it in New King James? So we're going to read this, Coach. So there's some pretty important characters in the Bible, and sometimes things that they say are pretty profound. Stephen would be one of them.
New King James, by the way. You got the New King James up there. It's all right.
That's what I like. Okay. I think it speaks in different ways, right?
Go ahead.
So I'll read. It says, so this is Stephen, right? And he's giving them, the Sadducees and Pharisees, a historical overview. But when he gets to this, he says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witnesses in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles. I'm going to highlight this, whom God drove out before the face of our father. God drove them out, okay? They came in and cleaned up, but God drove them out until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked him to find a dwelling for God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As a prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart. Hey, they had circumcision. It just wasn't in the heart and their ears. They could not hear. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. That would be Jesus, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. In their spirit, they were cut. And they gnashed at him with their teeth.
Wow.
But he, this is Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.
So, Craig, when Jesus looks down and sees Stephen being martyred, he stands up in honor. Jesus stands up to honor the sacrifice that Stephen's about to make.
Then they...
Standing ovation, baby.
And they, that's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, okay, cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. In other words, they didn't want to hear it anymore. Don't tell me this. And ran at him with one accord. Do you know, Coach, evil can run with one accord as much as Christians can run with one accord, okay?
Amen.
They cast him out of the city, just like they did Jesus. And they threw stones at him. Are we placing stones? I think we are. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, did he say, receive my soul? No, he said, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit has always, here's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Holy Spirit has always been active on the earth. After Christ, we had the ability to accept him into our heart and be reborn again for all men, not certain men. There were certain men in the Old Testament that had the Holy Spirit. But this is a free gift to anyone. All you have to do is receive.
Friends, let me tell you something, just personal testimony here. And I use this a lot, and people chuckle, but it's true. When I received Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, It did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. I walked in one man and came out another. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. My own friends around here, 50th reunion coming up. People I graduated from high school with. They're afraid of me. They're afraid of me. Because what? Reputation, things they've heard, religious nut, whatever. Has the Holy Spirit come into you so deep and so strong that it's transformed you into a brand new creature that they don't even recognize? That happened to me.
Amen.
You guys just know this me. You just know this one now for the last 1978, however long. You know that one. You don't know the guy before. And I'm going to go back to my reunion, and they want me to take that old guy back with me? They want me to go back 50 years and become that old guy? That old guy's dead. I can't be him.
Amen, Coach.
And they don't want the new guy to come. They don't want him to come.
No.
Dr. Paul, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you're dangerous. Anyway, we were on the show with Carrie the other day, and something dawned on me that anything that man creates doesn't last. And that includes these viruses and these bioweapons and AI and all this stuff. It's just stay positive in all this, Coach, because Kennedy's doing some amazing things. He just fired a satanic guy that was in charge of the vaccine schedule for kids. He's literally a Satanist. Okay, this is the garbage we're dealing with in this government.
I know, man. But we've let him get a foothold in it, Paul, because we didn't want to occupy it.
We're in a blessed time, Coach. We're in a blessed time. The truth is coming out, and people are figuring it out, man. Where would we be if we didn't understand that we'd just been betrayed by so many? We're in good hands, Coach. Keep it
we
up.
We are. I'm telling you, it's all heading in the great right. I got so much to put out there. Randy, come on in.
Amen, Paul. Coach, notice the writer of the Acts, Luke. He writes a lot about the Holy Spirit because they were in the day where it had just been poured out. But Coach, the key to Stephen, the key to him being such a witness, such a martyr, is he was full of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
He was full. He writes that. He's full. Why did he write that? He wanted to make sure you didn't miss this, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between being a Christian and then being full of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what Mark's alluding to earlier. When we're prayed up, Coach, when we're in a communion with God and we're walking with God and we're full of the Holy Spirit, people want, Coach, they don't hate you. They hate the Holy Spirit.
I get it. Yes.
They hate the Holy Spirit. They resist the Holy Spirit.
What happened to that old Dave? Boy, I wish you'd get that old Dave.
And they want it. And they, you know why, Coach? Because he is truth. And when you speak out full of the Holy Spirit and you speak truth, you are uncovering their sin. You're uncovering everything they're doing. That's what's happening with the lies right now. The Holy Spirit is in a time of unveiling truth. Coach, I'm telling you, if we will stay full of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is going to be seen in power. I'm telling you.
Amen. About the change, huh? Right. What about the change? I look, Spencer, I'm doing a real quick one. Pull up Webster. And I just typed in transformed. Transformed. Trans means across. Form. Changed in form or external appearance. Metamorphosed. Transmuted. Renewed. That happened to me. The Bible says that you shall be transformed. Can anybody finish that for me? How are you and I going to be transformed? How's the average guy you come in contact with? How's he going to be transformed? Anybody know?
By the renewing of your mind.
By the way you think. The renewing of your mind. Wow. You know what I think the renewing of the mind is? I now have the ability. It gets me in trouble sometimes. Probably gets you in trouble. It's really easy for me to spot a lie. I can spot. I was never tempted from the very first second on COVID. Never from the very first second. Why? Because I've been transformed, renewing my mind, and I saw what that was. Now, here's what the problem is. The Bible tells you and it tells me to take captive every thought. Do you do that? Or you just react? Do you get that? Do you sometimes get in your, we call it a conscience. Do you kind of get that stop in your spirit when you're about to do something or not do something? Sure you do. And why do you get that stop? Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, one way or another. Are you just going to drive by that? You see that guy down there standing? You're just going to drive by him? That's the question the Holy Spirit would ask you. Coach, they're doing it. You're just going to stand by and watch, Coach? See, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. What's conviction? Conviction is the idea, yeah, I should. That's conviction. Condemnation is, why didn't you? The Bible says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, conviction. If you don't respond properly to conviction, I promise you, condemnation will come. And you will drive down the road and you will say to yourself, daggone it, I should have stopped. That's condemnation. Conviction is, see that? You ought to stop. You ignore it, you drive past. Condemnation is, why didn't you? Why didn't you? So you have, and I have within me, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that can overcome what they call the wiles of the devil, the thoughts and the actions and the prompts of the wicked one. We have to do what the Bible says, bring into captivity those thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And we don't do that. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to do it. And we don't want to do it because it brings conflict. I've been a number of times been with my wife at a gathering, what a family gathering usually. And I would, I'd lean over to her and I'd say, honey, we're either going to have to go or they're going to run me out of here because I'm going to say something. And she'd grab me by the hand and she'd drag me out. Come on in, Judah.
Coach, you hit it right on the head. And as we talk about the spiritual change, you know, I think we all, those people who know the truth, you know the time and place where you actually said, Father, God, Holy Spirit, come into my life and change me. Give me the eyes to see and have understanding. As we go back to the Bible here, we look at is Acts 9:18. You know, obviously Saul was a changed man. But we toil over these things of like our friends and our family and even people at church. They don't see it. You're like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you see it? We look at the GOP. We look at these snakes in the grass. What's wrong with them? Immediately, things like scales fell from their eyes and they could see again. What transformation happens to those people that now can see what we see? To be called by God and to understand specifically what your call purpose is, it takes that one moment where you reach up, you reach your hand up, he's not reaching down.
Amen, man. Amen. Huh? Folks, listen to me. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You're not a body. You're not a body. We're all going to leave this natural realm. We're going to, we call it death. Death means separation. We're going to leave this body and go into that ether land, whatever, go on someplace. We're leaving it. But we can't see the spirit realm till we leave the natural realm. We have natural eyes. And the Lord tells us to see with spirit eyes. Spirit eyes. But we can't without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there are a lot of people who have religion, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth, and they don't have it. It takes me about 10-minute conversation, and I know. Form of godliness, the Bible says, denying the power thereof, from such men, turn away. Jeff Nares.
Morning, Coach. You know,
morning.
The evidence of Christ, and it's very simple, the evidence of Christ is changed lives.
Amen.
You're once walking in one direction, you have a Christ encounter, and now you're walking in a completely different direction.
Amen.
There's the evidence.
That's it, brother. I once was blind, now I see. I've lost, now I'm found. There has to be a line of demarcation, a new birth, the Bible calls a new birth. Joe Allen.
Yeah, there's a famous scene in the movie where a certain general says, can't handle the truth. We're in now 9 months. We got three years and 3 months to go. Are people, like you were saying in Acts, are they going to be able to handle the truth? Everything's being laid out before eyes. Enough said. Yep.
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying, man. Oh, boy. There's some things coming. Alan, come on in, Alan.
Morning, Coach. Coach, you know why we're so hated? I got a lot of my family they don't want jack to do with me just because of my walk. Nothing else.
Yep.
You'd think I beat them in the face or kicked them or something. It's just sick. But here's the thing, Coach. Let's just go look at Job right now and look how much hell and wickedness Job, who was not filled with the Holy Ghost, but God still protected him. Look at how much junk Job was holding back by his lifestyle. Now, look how much more we are holding back. Look how much saltier we are than Job was. And just think of the amount of stuff that we are holding back wherever we're at.
Amen.
You know, there's people that want to come in Walmart and just spray the place with bullets, but because Coach is in there, God says, nope, ain't allowed to happen today. We don't realize everywhere we go, we're holding back evil. And Job's a pretty good example of what we are really holding back. But we're amplified probably times 10 because God's inside of us now. So Satan has to ask permission to do anything when you and I go somewhere.
That's right.
That's just the truth. And we just don't understand how really powerful we are. That's why we're hated. And that's why he'll make our family and friends hate us. And this, however he can get to us, he tries to do it. And, hey, it's a war on our mind. There is no doubt about it. It's them fiery darts that really work on you.
They don't even talk about it anymore. Let me finish with this. Number seven. Spencer, pull that up there. Famous last words before they died. Let's see. Whoa. Here we go.
I don't know the guy, but Caesar Borgia, he's an atheist. Anybody know that name? Yeah, he's an atheist. And listen, these are his last words. While I lived, I provided for everything but death. Now I must die, and I'm unprepared to die. Sir Thomas Scott, some of you have heard that, undoubtedly. Taken suddenly ill, he cried out, until this moment, I thought there's neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel there are both, and I'm doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty. Voltaire, anybody recognize that name? On his deathbed, I've swallowed nothing but smoke. I've intoxicated myself with the incense that turned my head. I'm abandoned by God and man. To his physician, he said, I'll give you half of what I'm worth if you'll give me 6 months of life. The doctor told him it was impossible. He responded with, then I'll die and go to hell. last words. Very last, I don't know, but he said that on his deathbed. David Hume, you may know that name. On his deathbed, I'm in flames. Period. Sir Francis Newport, head of English Atheist Club. You need not tell me that there's no God, for I know there's one, and that I'm in his presence. You need not tell me there's no hell. I feel myself already slipping. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I'm lost forever. Oh, that fire. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. Oh, that I could lie for 1,000 years upon the fire that's never quenched to purchase the favor of God. He's wishing it could be purgatory, where he actually could pay for his sins and be united to God again. But it's fruitless wish. Millions and millions of years will bring me no nearer the end of my torments than for one poor hour. Oh, eternity, eternity, forever, forever. Oh, the insufferable pangs of hell. The French king, Charles IX, massacred the Huguenots. He said, asleep or awake, I see the mangled forms of the Huguenots passing before me. How will all this end? What shall I do? I'm lost forever. Anton LaVey, he's the Satan worshiper. On his deathbed, oh my, what have I done? There's something very wrong. There's something very wrong. Young people, where's your mind? You see, the world and the devil, the God of this world, he wants your mind. He wants you to think that that religion of your parents is awful. It's boring. Oh, Christianity. You know what? The truth is, there is a glory that'll blow your socks off.
Watch this.
All right, man. See you tomorrow.